And I tell you, I'm thankful for the whole family. They have a special place in my heart. But praise God, I love to hear them sing because I believe they sing with a pure heart. I believe they sing with a pure desire to uplift and to glorify God. Amen. What a blessing. What a special treat for Mother's Day. Amen. That God would allow them to stop by and just be a blessing to us tonight. Amen. And I tell you what, you need to let them know how much you appreciate it. We went up to the old Chinese buffet up in People's Plaza with some of the kids today for take Deb up for Mother's Day. You know, at the end of the meal, they come out and they bring you them fortune cookies. And everybody, man, she had a big old heap pile of them. There's a bunch of us up there. Brother Jack looked in that room and scared him to death. He seen all that tribe in there. Hey, man, mean-looking bunch. But you know, sometimes even the heathen knows that there's something greater than themselves and greater than what they've been taught. I popped that old fortune cookie. They was opening them fortune cookies, and they was asking what this means, and the kids were asking, well, what's this mean? Why? Well, what's that mean? What's it say? I opened mine up, and I read it, and I didn't even say anything. I just folded it up and stuck it in my pocket. I'm going to stuff it here in my Bible, and I'm going to keep it. Because it has such a profound truth that if the heathen and if this world could just grasp it and realize what it is that they're saying, it would change their lives profoundly. Listen at what this fortune cookie's fortune had to say. It said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hey, man, I almost had me a fit right there this afternoon. Hey, man, I was thinking to myself, hallelujah. Hey, man, even the heathen know that they need something more than what they got. Even the heathen knows that what they have is insufficient. Because Jesus is the only light that can bring us out of spiritual darkness. Turn in your Bibles tonight again to Proverbs 31. Yes, sir, Ernie, I'm sorry. I'll get plugged up, tuned in, turned on here in a moment. Amen. Everybody says, how's your throat? When I got here tonight, man, I sounded like froggy. I said, I don't worry about it when it comes time to preach. God will take care of it. Amen. He always does. Now, my boss tomorrow will be asking me, what in the world did you do? I tell him, I preach, man, I preach. I told you this morning that we would visit Proverbs 31 again. And we want to just look at what made this Proverbs 31 woman so special. That one of the wisest men who compiled and who gathered these proverbs and these sayings from around the world thought it was so important that he include this letter, that this address made to King Lemuel by his mother, so important that he placed it within his collection of profound and important thoughts and sayings. And in verse 10, he says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth faithfully trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, all good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands doth hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I preached to you this morning on the praiseworthy mother. Those who are worthy of the praise that God's word bestows upon some of these women, some of these mothers that we have seen in the word of God for their faithfulness unto God, for standing faithful in the midst of trying circumstances, for standing faithful when the tide of change was going this way, they decided to stand with God. When death had touched their family, they chose to stand with God. When every situation that faced these mothers came their way, they chose to say all is well and just stand with God. I'm thankful for the mothers that we have in our church who stand faithful and who stand proudly and not in a wrong way, but in a right way for the cause of Christ. And I'm thankful tonight for the many women that we have in our church who meet this mold in this picture. It's almost, as you read down through it and you try to put it in 21st century terms, it seems almost impossible for any woman to live up to these standards. But I tell you, I can look around my church and I see a bunch of them. Amen. That uphold these principles that are laid out here in God's word. I want to just look at a few of these as we look at this verse tonight. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? As the writer begins to describe her, they begin by using a word that's very much misinterpreted and very much misunderstood in a lot of ways. And it's the word virtuous. We want to apply it to only one aspect of life. One aspect of a woman in her life, but it has many meanings. When you look up the word virtuous and you take Strong's and you begin to do a word search on it, you find out that the Hebrew word from which it was translated from is used in many instances and is used to describe many things. But three of them, I think there's 34 separate uses and 34 separate meanings for the Hebrew word that is translated into virtuous and virtue here. And I believe three of them are so important because I believe they point to the fourth that I want to share them with you. One is a force. We never think of virtue as being a force, being something that is within something that comes out and something that exudes itself. Virtue, the word that is translated here also means power. And I tell you what, you meet a virtuous woman, you'll find a woman that has a lot of power and a lot of control over her own life. And it also means strength. And if you take these three words and you link them together and you point them to that one word that we think of, most importantly, is purity. Amen. Is purity. He said, she is pure. She's a virtuous woman. She has strength. She has a power within her, a force that enables her to be faithful to her husband, to be the kind of woman that her husband never has to worry about. You know, one thing I've never had to worry about is my wife. Amen. When we was in the Navy, they hit on her all the time. Now, Brother Curtis and Sister Peggy are about the only ones here that actually will remember my wife when I married her. She was, and still is to me. Some of you look around and say, well, she's just an old woman sitting back there. That's why young people look at us, they say, oh, just old people. I remember when Mary seen my picture on the refrigerator, said, Pastor Dennis, is that you? Had my Navy picture back when I was 17. About half the man I am now, but nonetheless. But my wife is drop-dead gorgeous. And anywhere I went, fellas was hitting on her. When I was dating her, I was jockeying for position because there's about three or four at the same time. And, well, I mean, they were coming out of the woodwork trying to date my wife. We got married, and when we got married, we was on our honeymoon, and we'd come back. We was at her mom's house, and y'all have heard me tell about old Sonny Sideburns showing up. Amen. He hadn't even heard that she got married. She forgot to write him a letter and tell him. But you know what? In all this and in everything that's happened, I've never had to worry about my wife. I've spent months at sea, and folks say, well, don't you worry about what your wife's doing back home? I said, I don't have to worry about my wife. Amen. I work on the road, and I traveled for 5 years with Amtrak. I spent more time away from home than I did at home. I come home on Friday night, sometimes leave Sunday night to go back to work. I come home to visit, and then I go back to where I lived. Amen. Up in that hellhole they call New York. Amen. Up in that the armpit of the world someplace. I was working up there, and folks say, well, don't you worry about what your wife's doing while you're away. I said, I don't have to worry about my wife. Amen. I get my paycheck. Them guys at work, man, they grab their paycheck and they rip that sucker open and they want to see how much money's there and they want to get to the bank and cash the check and put some money in their pocket and give a little bit to the wife. I take my check. They say, don't you even look at that? I say, no, my wife takes care of that. I don't make deposits. I don't know what's in the bank account. I got a rough idea of what's there. I don't worry about it because my wife is faithful and I don't have to worry about her. I don't worry about it because my wife is pure and her purity means more to her. Her purity means more to her before Christ than it does anything else in this world. And I don't care who it is that's hit on her. And trust me, she's been hit on through the years time and time and time again. But she's remained faithful. Amen. Amen. You tell them, sister. Amen. You tell them all about it. Hey, praise God. I've seen a lot of men lose their wives because they succumb to some silver-tongued devil. I've seen a lot of men lose their wives because they come to somebody that had something more shiny and more pretty. I've seen a lot of men lose everything they had because they had a woman that was untrue. But let me tell you something, friend. You get yourself a godly woman. You get yourself a woman that wants to please God, wants to uphold the principles of God, wants to live for God. You got a woman that you'll never have to worry about. Amen. Because she'll only do you good. And her heart's desire will be to do you good. She's virtuous. Virtuous, meaning more than just being a virgin when you marry, or just being pure in that way. You know, a lot of young ladies make mistakes in their life, but that don't mean they can't be virtuous. A lot of men, you make mistakes in your lives, but that don't mean you can't be virtuous. Amen. You can be principled and you can have some ideas of standing for the cause of Christ. And though none go with me, she's seen that movie and she adopted that saying, don't none go with me. She's told my family numerous times that though none go with me, I'll go one for Christ. She's told my kids, though none go with me, I'll go for Christ. Why? Because there's a force within her that gives her the power and the strength to stand and to maintain her purity before her Savior and before her husband. Amen. And I don't take that lightly. And fellas, I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to call somebody out because I would miss somebody and somebody's feelings would get hurt. But I can look back here and see a bunch of women that meet that mold. And guys, you ought to look at your wife and you ought to say thank you. You ought to say thank you for being so faithful. Her husband does faithfully trust in her. Amen. Why? So that he shall have no need of him. I don't need anything else. I got her. Amen. I got all that I need. Listen, going down verses 13 to 15. She keepeth wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it's yet night and giveth meat unto her household and a portion to her maidens. Not only is she virtuous and exudes that purity, but praise God, she's considerate and conscious of the needs of her family. And she puts the needs of her family before her own personal needs. She puts the needs of others before herself. I tell you what, I'm glad Christian women have that desire to serve others. You want joy in your life? What's the acronym? Jesus, others, then you. Amen. I believe that's the picture that's painted right here. She worries about her family. She makes sure they have the things that they need. She makes sure that they're fed. And look, I like that right there. I seen that, and she's like a merchant. She bringeth her food from afar. She's not satisfied with the ordinary. She's not satisfied with the microwave dinner. Praise God, she wants her family to have the best. Amen. You know, we've got out of, in a lot of places, a family dinner where the family all sits down together and eats together. We've got out of having a time where your mom has prepared a meal. And we sit down and we eat it appreciatively because mom has went to great lengths to cook a meal. I tell you what, this Proverbs 31 woman is a woman who's conscious and considerate and caring about her family's needs. And she don't want them to have just any junk. She wants them to have the best. She brings her food from afar. Amen. She goes through great trouble to make sure that I'm touching a nerve somewhere. Amen. She goes through great trouble. Amen. To see that her family has the best that she can obtain, has the best that she can do. And not only does she worry about her family, she giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's conscious of all that are around her. She's considerate of those who are working for her, considerate of those who are members of her household, and not just anything to do. She wants the best. She considers them that much. And she's conscious of what she's doing. And in verse 16 says, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. Oh, she's a very astute woman. And I tell you what, there's some very astute women in this church. I'm glad for some of the godly women that God has sent this way. They can do things. I tell you what, you want something planned. You want something planned down to the detail. Now, Brother Jim calls her Monk. Amen. Anybody know who Monk is? He's a detective on TV, and he worries about the least little... I would drive her plumb crazy. Brother Jim hadn't been able to do it. She would go crazy. But you get Sister Mary to plan something. And it's figured out down to the last. She's astute in what she does. So she considereth a field and she buys it. She plants a vineyard with her own money. She's astute in business. She's astute in the needs of her household. You know, ladies, your husbands are dependent on you. Now, I'm going to say this, and please don't take this the wrong way. But that household is your job. I get frustrated when people look at stay-at-home moms and say, oh, you're just a housewife. Amen. My wife is so much more than just a housewife. My wife, because she is so astute in her dealings with the things that we have, I have been able to provide for my family. I told you this morning, you know, I couldn't make it on one minimum wage job, and I took two. It was important for me for my wife to be home. But she made sure that when I was working, she took what we had and used it to its fullest potential. She didn't waste it. When we first got married, she would not buy a cake mix. There's one right there that won't either. She would not buy a cake mix. I have never eaten a biscuit. I hear these guys at work talking about their wives buy Bisquick and they make biscuits out of Bisquick. I have never eaten a biscuit made out of Bisquick. Well, not in my house anyway. Not anything that my wife has made anyway. And let me tell you something. You seen them grandsons of mine. Hey, man. You try to put a Passover a box potatoes, instant mash. You try to feed them suckers some instant mashed potatoes, and you will have a revolt on your hand. Yeah. Amen. Why? Because my woman, my wife. I can't talk about yours. I'll talk about mine for a while. Amen. She's been astute with what little bit we've had. And what little bit we've had, she's always made to make do with. Amen? I know fellas right now. I know a guy that makes $40 an hour. His wife can shovel money out the back door faster than he can bring it in the front door. She can shovel it out with a teaspoon out the back door faster than he can throw it in the front door with a snow shovel. Amen? That Proverbs 31 woman is a woman who takes seriously the role that God has given her to be the manager of the household. Now, ladies, if you work, don't take me wrong. If that's between you and your husband, if you work, that's fine. As for me and my house, my wife's staying home. Amen. And that's just the way it was. That's just the way it happened. She worked for a little while. She went out and worked at the little store. She found out she got lonely when Becky went to school. And she said, I just feel lost. I'm going to go out and get a job. So she went out in the little store and she got a job for a little while. I didn't like it because she wasn't home. I didn't like it because she wasn't spoiling me any longer. Amen. Amen. I was astute enough to realize that what little bit she was making out there wasn't worth what I was losing at home. Amen. And she come back, but you know, I know some folks have had to work and, you know, they have stretched the needs and things, but praise God, if you got an astute woman who manages her household and is able to take care of her house, she can take a little bit and give it to the Lord. See, that's what my wife does. She trusts the Lord. She don't trust me. That's what makes her so astute. Amen. No matter what I've made, she's asked the Lord to bless it, and it's always been sufficient. Honest to God. You know, I told you this morning, I've had people get angry at me for preaching on God's supply and God's meeting our needs. I've had people actually come to me mad because I preached that, you know, We've never had a bill that's not been paid. I bounced one check one time. She was in the hospital. It wasn't her fault. Amen. And I wrote a check and forgot to put it in her checkbook. She didn't know about it. But she was so astute that after that, she buried money in her checkbook. So that if I did something stupid, well, she was in the hospital and I had three screaming kids that I wasn't used to dealing with. Amen. I was used to being away and she dealt with them screaming kids. And they drove me crazy and I was buying medicine or something. One of them was sick. She was in the hospital when the kids were sick, went to the doctor, had to go to get it. And it was a mess. But once she straightened it out, she was astute enough to figure out a way to where it wouldn't happen again. And has never happened again. In 40 years of marriage, we had a check returned one time. And that was only because of my mistake. It wasn't her. Amen. The bank didn't even charge us for it. They said, she went up and said, it was my husband. They said, no problem. You need not say anymore. You need not say anymore. We understand. It was a man. You know, but it's taken care of. But she sees and she realizes how to make the best, how to profit her family. Then we see in verses 17 through 19, it says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She's principled in what she does. Amen. You know what God's families need is principled mothers and principled fathers. Ones that are willing to uphold the standards and to lift the standard and say, here is the bar that God has set for us and here is where we need to be. You know, it says she considereth her merchandise and she sees that it's good. Her candle don't go out by night. She's not willing to give just any old junk. She's principled enough that she makes sure that everything she does meets the highest standard. Amen? You say, well, that's not always possible. Yeah, it is. We attain whatever level we choose to attain to. I tell young people all the time, you want to hang out with the wrong crowd, pretty soon you'll sink to that level. You go to school, in your school life, you hang out with the overachievers, pretty soon you're going to find yourself becoming an achiever. And pretty soon, an overachiever. You go hang out with the ones that have the failing grades and don't care, and you hang out with them, and pretty soon, you can be an A student. But you hang out with that crowd long enough, and pretty soon, you'll sink to their level. Amen? It's the same way with us adults. Who we choose to hang around with. The principles that we are willing to accept and refuse. This Proverbs 31 woman is not willing to allow her family to sink low. She has principles. She has standards. And she maintains these standards. And she looks and sees the things that she does. The merchandise that she has, it's good. Her candles don't go out when everybody else is selling junk. And it goes out at night when everybody else's family's running around with some candle that won't shed a light but just for a short time. Hers is still a burning because she's got principles. She's got standards. She holds herself to a high standard. You know, what's missing in most of our Christian lives is we don't hold ourselves. Amen? We don't hold ourselves to a high standard. We want to surrender and we want to submit ourselves to the same thing that everybody else does. In verse 20 it says, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Praise God for a benevolent heart. Amen. I tell you what. Now there's a lot of scams going on in this world. And there's a lot of things that make you worry. But when we lose that benevolent heart, when we no longer care about others, we have a problem with ourselves. Amen? This woman not only cares about her family, she sees someone else in need. and she'll reach out to them. She sees someone else in having a problem, and she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's active and doing. Man, I tell you what, anybody in this part of the country that has any type of knowledge of somebody that will help you out in the time of need knows this woman's name. Amen. She's just like a magnet. Man. Somebody says, man, we need this, we need that. You know where we can get it? And I said, well, if you'll call Miss Joanne. Oh, yeah, we know her. Amen. A benevolent heart. She reaches out. It's the kind of Christian that Christians should be. It's the kind of Christian women that Christian women should be. It's the kind of Christian that all of us need to be. Amen. Verse 21 says she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. You know what? Not only is she benevolent, and not only does she reach out, not only is she virtuous and considerate, and not only is she an astute business person, but she has pride in what she does. There's nothing wrong with having pride in what you do. There's a problem with being prideful. Amen. But look at this. She don't worry about her family. Her family's clothed. And they're not just clothed. They're clothed with scarlet. She don't run around looking like some old wretch. Amen. It says she clothes herself in tapestry and in silk. She tries to portray an image that states of who she is. Amen. Now you come to my house on any day we're out working, we're doing things, you're going to see my wife looking frumpy. Amen. She can't do anything without getting something all over her. I tell her, we went camping one time, I told her she's a mud magnet. She thought I said she was a mud maggot, and we liked to have a divorce right then. Amen. I said, I didn't say maggot, I said magnet. Amen. But dirt, paint, anything we're doing, it just goes. But when we go out, amen, she wants to make sure when we go to the house of God especially that she emulates a Christian woman. People tell me all the time, oh, man, you dress so nice. Somebody told me this morning, says, man, you sure dress nice. I like that outfit you got on. I said, one lady, I said, look, my wife dresses me. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Amen. My wife takes care of that. She buys me clothes that I bought you. I don't need any more shirts. Well, yes, you do. You need to look nice. Her husband, when he goes out, amen, he don't look like some ragamuffin that was drugging off the street. She's got him dressed. She's got him clothed. She's got him looking right. Amen. She has pride in her family. She has pride in what they look like. She has pride in the things that she does. And praise God, if we would take more pride in our Christian lives, what a difference our testimony would be. Amen. There we go with standards again. Amen. But I don't care what you say. We can't get away from it. There's standards all through the Word of God. I'm proud that I'm a Christian. Amen. And I'm not ashamed to dress like a Christian, to look like a Christian, and to act like a Christian. And praise God, I'm glad that my wife wants to make sure that wherever they see me, they look at that man. You know, we go places and people look at me and say, you're a preacher, ain't you? And we walk to the hospital. Go to hospital visiting. I don't even have a suit on. People look at me and say, you're a preacher, ain't you? That's because she dresses me. Amen. She wants me to look a certain way. She wants me to portray a certain image. She wants me to live up to a certain standard. Amen. And praise God, I'm glad she does. But everything we do in this church, everything we do, every ministry, we should have the same desire. I tell you what, Mason Dixon sung tonight. Man, I tell you, they got a sweet sound. I love to hear them sing. You can tell that they take pride. And not that they're prideful, but they want to sound. They practice. They have to practice. They have to know their parts. You know, I wanted them to sing that happy. I love that song, Happy, Happy, Happy. Amen. Christians should be happy, happy, happy. Amen. You don't need to grow a beard just to hang around in the swamp. Amen. To be happy. Happy, happy. All you got to do is get Jesus in your heart and you can be happy, happy, happy all the time. Amen. I like that song. I ask them to sing it. And I tell you what, if you've ever heard it on the radio, yeah, they have nailed it. They got it down. Why? Because they take pride in what they do. Amen. Sunday school teacher, do you take pride in what you do? A youth worker, do you take pride in what you do? A church cleaner, do you take pride in what you do? We should take pride in everything we do as the children of God. And I'm glad we got women in our church that want to uphold the standards of God. Some don't care. Some think, well, we let down the standards and it'll just make them want to come. Let's let down the standards and it'll just draw them in. Letting down the standards never hurt anybody or helped anybody. Amen. Darkness cannot remove darkness. Amen. You need to write that down in your Bible somewhere. Amen. I tell you, you need just them old heathens got to write, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Praise God, I'm not afraid to hold up the standard. Listen to this. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Praise God, I'm glad for women who are industrious. Amen. My wife teaches the 2 and 3 class. And that was a scary bunch. Nobody wanted them. Amen. So she had to trade off this class for that class to get that class. Amen. To make everybody happy. She spends, let me say this. If you got a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old that goes to her class, they are taught a lesson. And they are taught a lesson in a way that they can understand it. They are taught a lesson in a way that they can take it away from her class. And parents come to her all the time and say, I can't believe they actually listen and heard what she, because she did. But you know what? She didn't just slap something together Sunday morning and go down there and throw some Play-Doh on the table and said, here, play with some Play-Doh for 45 minutes and we'll go upstairs and I'll give you some papers to take home. She's industrious. Every night she's sitting at home coloring stuff because they don't like to color. So she's got to color everything for them. Amen. And she's looking for things, unique things on the internet that will grab their attention and that will make them pay attention to the lesson. And she spends hours. She probably spends 6, 7, 8 hours getting ready for one Sunday school class. I kid you not. She's not idle in what she's doing. She's industrious. Folks, we need to get industrious for the cause of Christ. Amen. We need to let this song, this Proverb 31 woman be an inspiration to us. We need to look around at some of the women. Now downstairs, it's mostly women teaching these kids and the things that they do and the lessons that these kids are learning. We're putting in their hands. It's because we have women that are industrious. I had to tell Joanne, she's not allowed to do anymore. She can't do nothing else. She wants to do everything. I said, no. You got that. Get to your pantry. Amen. But if I turn her loose, she wants to do everything. Amen. She's industrious. I know Sister Mary took Sunday school class. Every year she takes Sunday school class, and she takes them down to Washington. Took a group just the other day. Amen. I'm sure that wasn't a cheap trip because they went down on the train. And I know what the train caused. Amen. Even though Mark is cheaper, thank God you didn't have to go on Amtrak. Amen. But why does she plan this out? Why does she do this as a Sunday school teacher? Because she's industrious. Amen. Why do the people here do the things they do for our little ones and for our kids? Because they're industrious. Why, Mom, do you do the things that you do at home, the special little things that you do? My wife drives me crazy with some of the simplest little things. I said, just let it be. She said, no, that's not good enough. I want this, and I want it done this way. She takes pride in what she's doing. She takes pride in the way that it's done, and she wants it done the way that she wants it done. And lastly, look at this. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let me tell you something. A Proverb 31 woman has a godly testimony. Amen. People that look at her, people that talk about her when you mention her name, they automatically think of a godly woman if they don't say it. They automatically think of someone who loves the Lord, even though they don't say it. I think of Sister Peggy Rasnick quite a bit. She sits back here. She's quiet. You never hear a whole lot out of Sister Peggy Rasnick. But I tell you what, I can tell you in her life and from what I know of her and seen of her, she's the model. She's a picture of that. She's industrious and she's a good woman. You know, Brother Curtis wouldn't be the success he is today if it wasn't for Sister Peggy being there and helping him and guiding him. She's astute and she has good business sense. And I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just using you like I did some of these other Sister Peggy. But I tell you what, anywhere you mention her name, amen. He'll say, that's a good woman. It's a godly woman. Amen. There are people in life that you meet and you just hear people tell about things that have happened in their life. But when you hear him say, that's a godly woman, that's a good woman. And Sister Peggy's had to deal with some difficult situations and some difficult instances. But she does it with the right heart and the right mind. The right frame, the right desire. Because what's most important in her life is her relationship to her God.